Who would like to know about the, like, last us? Anyone would like to know the brief?
Yes, Swamiji, meet Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. Okay, I can give the briefing, but you know, it's a very important class, so I request each and every devotee, if they have missed, then please hear the recording, because we have covered Vaishnava etiquette principles in detail, as well as the different types of
the recording is not
class.
Clear, Prabhuji. Yeah, actually, recording is also not clear, Prabhuji. Prabhuji.
So, I think, who had sent the recording? Bhairavi Mataji?
I don't know, Prabhuji. I don't know who recorded it here. Last previous class.
Is Bhairavi Mataji there today? Okay. Okay, and who has recorded actually? Was it only Bhairavi Mataji or any other devotee recording?
Someone is saying something, Prabhuji, but not.
Huh? Okay, someone is outside, so please mute the phone. Hare Krishna. Okay, so what I was asking is, anyone else recorded the class?
Prabhuji, I think Pradeep Prabhu recorded the class.
On his mobile, probably.
What? Actually, someone shared the recording, but it is not clear. And that recording voice is echoing, Prabhuji.
Okay. See, actually, the class is very important, actually. So, even if I give you the brief, but still, like, you know, Vaishnava etiquette, one, we have to explain, like, each and everything. So, I have already sent the etiquette manual. You can go through that. You know, I have given, whatever details I have given is also important. So, like, now, you know, in 5 minutes, how much I can explain, actually. So, about the Rakhi Abbas, I can, you know, give explanation very quickly, but the Vaishnava etiquette, I think you'll have to like listen to the recording.
Okay.
So see, Rati Abbas are of two types. Rati Abbas means something which is actually a shadow. It's not the original thing. And they are of two types. Pratibim Rati Abbas and anyone remembers the second Abbas? Chaya.
Chaya.
Yeah. So the Jiva Goswami has explained the difference between these two is that Pratibhamba Rapyasa is the main
reflection.
The objective is actually material enjoyment and liberation. Okay, and in Chaya Bimba Rapyabhas, there is some sort of curiosity about the Lord. Okay, at the same time, there is obviously, although there is curiosity about the Lord, it is not spiritual, it is kind of material. So, in one sense, that is also material. Okay, and so it, but the difference is that Pratibhim Pratyabhas, like, you know, unlike Chayabhim Pratyabhas, the non-devotees, when they associate continuously with devotees or participate in a festival, observe Ekadashi, like those things if they observe, then they get Chayabhim Pratyabhas, okay. And Pratibhim Pratyabhas is like, you know, sometimes they come in touch with devotees, but it is not, you know, regular, and they do not observe anything else. So, Pratibhamba Rati Abbas is like, you know, and then obviously the acharyas also explain that the Lord can easily bestow, you know, it's so powerful that it can bestow material enjoyment as well as liberation. Both Chayabhim and Pratibhamba Rati Abbas. Okay. And obviously this shadow, see, basically, we can understand that generally, you know, many Indians, they show a lot of affection, feeling for the Lord. But then obviously when they are asked to chant the holy name, they are not able to chant. And when they are asked to serve, they are not willing to serve. Most of the people will say, we don't have time. And, you know, they are busy in their own duties and everything, family duties and all. So obviously this kind of, you know, bhav is obviously abhav. It cannot be real bhav because we already have gone through the characteristics of real bhav. What are the symptoms of real bhav also, right? So one could easily understand that one is actually not having the real bhav. It's just a shadow or the reflection of the original bhav.
Okay.
And it remains for, you know, certain time. Okay, so if it is maintained by the association of devotees and if the motivation is to please the Lord, then it can develop into real bhav. But if it is not, the motivation is different, ulterior motive is there, then it remains as a chaya or pratibimba of us only.
Okay,
so this is about Abbas. Is anyone recording the class? Because Sumit Prabhu is not here till now. What about Rasraj Goprabhu or Alekya Matari? Are they have joined or and are they recording?
I think they are outside. I think so. That was
Alekya Matari said she will join. Okay, so who all are present? Because now it is not recorded. And Sumit Prabhu was going to attend, but I don't know where is he. So if he's not going to come, then no, this class is also not going to be recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there is no, and Bhairavi Mathur is also not there. So no one to record today. Okay, so let's continue. Who is going to read today?
Prabhuji, I have a doubt.
Okay.
Prabhuji, it is said that in the Chaya Rati Abbas, one is having curiosity about the Lord. Then can it be categorized as having curiosity about the Lord in relation to fulfilling his material desires? For example, Karma Kand or what benedictions Krishna can give? Or is it curiosity about who is God, where have we come from, and all those things?
Actually, Jiva Goswami says that curiosity about the Lord is basically to know something about the Lord, but the purpose is not to render service to Him. It's not to cultivate devotional service. Okay, so many people they would like to know certain things, right? But it's not necessary that they will actually implement it. So just for the information sake, you know, there is some curiosity about the Lord, but then ultimately it is like, you know, the objective is not to really render service to the Lord. So that's the reason there is some, you know, difference between Pratibimba Rati Abbas and Chaya Bim. So Pratibimba is completely pertaining to material enjoyment and liberation. So that is the only reason, there is some difference actually between them. But ultimately, in one sense, that's why Jiva Goswami also says that Chaya Bim Rati Abbas, you know, that is also similar to kind of, you know, material enjoyment, because whatever we desire separate from the Lord is like still in the category of material enjoyment. So it is like, you know, it's similar, but it is different also like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So who can start reading now the last chapter, 19th chapter? So I think Pranav Prabhu, you are the only option today. Because Sakshi Mantra, Bhairavi Mataji, they are not there. Sumit Prabhu is also not there. And yeah, okay, Usha Mataji, are you there?
Yes,
sir. So would you like to read? Hare Krishna? I can hear some chanting going on. So,
can I read, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji, please continue.
I'll read, or Satyabhama Mataji, you're reading?
I'm there. Okay.
You want to read?
So whatever, like, you know, it's a small chapter. We'll first reading the entire thing, and then I will share some commentaries by Vishwanchak Thakur.
Okay. Chapter 19, na Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Devotional service in pure love of God.
when one's desire to love Krishna in one's particular relationship becomes intensified, this is known as pure love of Godhead. In the beginning, a devotee is engaged in the regulative principles of devotional service by the order of his spiritual master. When one thereby becomes completely purified of all material contamination, there develop an attachment and taste for devotional service. This taste and attachment, when gradually intensified in the course of time, becomes love. The word love can be actually applied only in relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, love is not applicable at all. What goes on under the name of love in the material world is nothing but lust. There is a gulf of difference between love and lust, like the difference between gold and iron. In the Narad Pancharatra, it is clearly stated that when lust is completely transferred to the Supreme Godhead and the concept of kinship is completely reposed in him, such is accepted as pure love of God by great authorities like Bhishma, Prahlada, Uddhava and Narada. Great authorities like Bhishma have explained that completely giving up all so-called love for any other person. According to Bhishma, love means reposing one's affection completely upon one person, withdrawing all affinities for any other person. This pure love can be transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under two conditions, out of ecstasy and out of causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Shall I continue?
Yeah.
Ecstasy. Ecstasy, ecstatic love of Godhead can be potently invoked simply by following the rules and regulations of devotional service as they are prescribed in scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. In the 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 40 of Srimad Bhagavatam, this ecstatic love born of the execution of regulative devotional service is explained. A devotee, in the course of executing the regulative principles of devotional service, develops his natural Krishna consciousness and thus being thus soft. Thinking of the holy name of the Lord, he sometimes cries, sometimes talks wildly, sometimes sings, and sometimes, without caring for any outsider, dances like a madman. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about ecstatic love born of spontaneous affection. Chandrakanti, a celebrated fair-faced girl, rigidly observed celibacy in order to obtain Krishna as her husband. She always engaged herself in meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord and always chanted the glories of the Lord. She did not desire to accept anyone else as her husband. She had firmly decided that only Lord Krishna would be her husband. The Lord's extraordinary mercy. When a devotee is found to be always associated with the Lord in ecstatic love, it is to be understood that such a position has been awarded by the Lord himself out of his causeless extraordinary mercy. An example of such extraordinary mercy is given in the 11th canto, 12th chapter, verse 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, "The gopis in Vrindavana did not study the Vedas to achieve me, nor had they ever been in holy place of pilgrimage, nor did they devoutly execute any regulative principle, nor did they undergo any kind of austerity. It is simply by my association that they have attained the highest perfection of devotional service." From the example of Chandrakanti as found in Padma Purana and from the example of the gopis as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, it appears that a devotee who always thinks of Krishna and who always chants his glories in ecstatic love, regardless of his condition, will attain the highest perfection of unalloyed devotional love due to Lord Krishna's extraordinary mercy. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. If a person worships, adores and loves Hari, the Supreme Lord, he should be understood to have finished all kinds of austerities, finances and similar processes for self-realization. On the other hand, if after undergoing all types of austerities, finances and mystic yoga practices, one does not develop such love for Hari, then all his performances are to be considered a useless waste of time. If someone always sees Krishna inside and out, then it is to be understood that he has surpassed all austerities and finances for self-realization. And if after executing all kinds of finances and austerities, one cannot always see Krishna inside and out, then he has executed his performances uselessly. spontaneous attraction to Krishna, which is said to be due to the extraordinary mercy of the Lord, can be placed under two headings. One is profound veneration for the greatness of the Lord, and the other is one being automatically attracted to Krishna without any extraneous consideration. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is said that if on account of profound veneration for the greatness of the Supreme Lord, one attains a great affection and steady love for Him, one is certainly assured of attaining the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, namely achieving the bodily features as the Lord, achieving the same opulence as the Lord, dwelling on the planet where the Lord is residing, and attaining eternal association with the Lord. The Vaishnava liberation is completely different from the Mayavad liberation, which is simply a matter of being merged into the effulgence of the Lord. In the Narada Pancharatra, pure unalloyed devotional service is explained as being without any motive for personal benefit. If a devotee is continuously in love with Lord Krishna and his mind is always fixed upon Him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. In other words, a Vaishnava who is incessantly thinking of the form of Lord Krishna is to be known as a pure Vaishnava. Generally, a devotee who has achieved the causeless mercy of the Lord on account of following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service becomes attracted by the supreme greatness of the Lord, by the transcendental beauty of the Lord, and by the spontaneous execution of devotional service. To be more clear, by executing the regulative principles of devotional service, one can fully appreciate the transcendental beauty of the Lord. In any case, such exalted positions are possible only by the extraordinary mercy of the Lord upon the devotee. Association with pure devotees. Although many different processes for developing love of Godhead have been explained so far, Srila Rupa Goswami now gives us a general description of how one can best achieve such a high position. The beginning of extracting love of Godhead is basically faith. There are many societies and associations of pure devotees, and if someone with just a little faith begins to associate with such societies, his advancement to pure devotional service is rapid. The influence of a pure devotee is such that if someone comes to associate with him with a little faith, one gets a chance of hearing about the Lord from authoritative scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Thus, by the mercy of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, one gradually develops his faith in the descriptions of such authoritative scriptures. This is the first stage of association with pure devotees. In the second stage, after one becomes a little advanced and mature, he automatically offers to follow the principles of devotional service under the guidance of the pure devotee and accepts him as a spiritual master. In the next stage, under the guidance of the spiritual master, the devotee executes regulative devotional service, and as a result of such activities, he becomes freed from all unwanted occupations. When he is freed from unwanted occupations, his faith becomes steadily fixed, and he develops a transcendental taste for devotional service, then attachment, then ecstasies, and in the last stage, there is pure love of Godhead. These are the different stages of the development of pure love. Only the most fortunate persons can achieve such success in life. Those who are simply academic students of the Vedic scriptures cannot appreciate how such a development takes place. In the Narada Pancharatra, Lord Shiva therefore tells Parvati, "My dear Supreme Goddess, you may know from me that any person who has developed the ecstasy of love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and who is always merged in transcendental bliss on account of his love cannot even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind. The affection and the dealings of love that are different branches of the original tree of love precede many varieties of affectionate manifestations that will not be discussed here. These different manifestations have been described by Sanatana Goswami in Bhagavatamrita. Although the subject of such affections and dealings of love is very confidential, Sanatana Goswami has described them very explicitly." Sri Rupa Goswami thus concludes the first division of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, offering up his details for the transcendental pleasure of Sanatana Goswami, who has established the transcendental beauty, and of Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and Raghunath Dasa Goswami. It appears from this statement that the great Sri Jiva Goswami was not yet achieved when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written. Thus ends the Bhakti Rasamrita Swami study of the first division of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, up to the descriptions of exactly love of Godhead, which are to follow next.
Hari Bol. So, alright, you know, we have finished Prabhupada's act of devotion. Okay, so any questions from this purport? Any comments?
Roji, I am recording the class, but I don't know if it would be the success. After class, I would be knowing if it's recording.
Okay. Okay. All right. So, are the devotees there? Should I start now? Sakshiman Rahu, Saroji Mataji, then Dharavi Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Achha, you are there, okay. Can you record also?
I'll just give me 2 minutes, I'll record, yeah?
Yeah, what about other devotees? Have they joined Sumit Prabhu?
Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, standard pranam. Sakshi Mohan is recording. Let's see, Prabhuji, how it gets recorded.
So, 3 devotees are recording and no one is sure whether it will record or not. Wonderful.
Okay.
So, or I think what we can do is... Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, what we can do is, you know, 3 devotees, they should become Shrutidhars. Whatever I speak, they all, you know, it should be remembered in 3 parts today. And then should be narrated, passed on to the devotee who missed. Okay. So what is prema? Anyone knows what is the definition of prema? What is the difference between bhava and prema?
So in bhava there are impurities, but in the prema stage there is no impurity.
Okay. And so, but what is the real meaning of prema?
Bhava is like the ray of the sun. It is like starting of the prema stage.
So prema is what? Compared to what?
The sun.
Yeah. So intensity, the intensity of bliss, love, that is called prema. Okay, so when bhava becomes extremely condensed, then it is called prema. And so this is the swarup lakshan of prema. And the tatastha lakshan is, it softens the heart completely. Like, you know, if you all remember when we are discussing about bhava bhakti, that time also, bhav also softens the heart, but it does not do so to a great intensity. But prema does, you know, softens the heart completely and produces extreme possessiveness of the Lord in the experiencer or in the devotee. Okay, so these are the tatvastu lakshan of the prema bhakti. Okay, so swarup lakshan is when bhava is extremely condensed. So that is actually called prema. That is sandra atma visheshatma. Okay, so that is the real characteristics of prema bhakti. Now Vishwanatha Thakur explained that in prema the heart becomes extremely soft in comparison to preliminary condition of bhava, in which the heart becomes soft. Moreover, prema is content bliss, the highest state of bliss compared to the preliminary state of bhava, which has a preliminary appearance of bliss. Now prema also has extreme possessiveness of Krishna. That type of bhava is called prema. Okay, so now some really wonderful points Vishwanatha Thakur explains. So he says further on that a doubt now arises. If bhava is the cause of prema, and if it transforms itself into prema, it is called the material cause of prema according to Sankhya philosophy. Then bhava must give up its previous state and transform into prema. The effect cannot exist independently of the cause. It is similar to raw liquid sugar, which gives up its first state and becomes solid raw sugar. When the solid raw sugar appears, the raw liquid sugar no longer has a separate existence. The solid raw sugar then becomes white sugar and then refined sugar. when the refined sugar exists, then liquid raw sugar, solid raw sugar and white sugar no longer exist. In this case also, bhava becomes prema and thus bhava should no longer exist. When prema becomes sneha and sneha becomes rag, and then prema and sneha should both disappear and only rag should remain. Whatever, if the highest state of mahabhava appears in Radha and others, then all the previous states should disappear. So this is the claim. Okay, this is the claim. Someone can say like this. So then Vishwanatha Thakur, he refutes this idea and he says that this is not true. So you all are following what happens, you know. What he's saying is that, we are discussing all these stages of sadhana bhakti. For example, let's consider example from Saddha to Prema. So what is claimed here is that if someone is attaining the state of bhava, then asakti disappears. Okay, if someone attains the state of prema, then bhava disappears. Someone attains the state of sneha, mana, pranaya, all these higher stages, then the lower stages all disappear. This is the claim. Okay, and the analogy is given of raw sugar. So, you know, initially the raw sugar is like, you know, solid raw sugar in the solid raw sugar form, then from liquid it becomes solid, then from solid it becomes white, and then from white it becomes refined. Okay, and so this is the process. So what is actually given here is that during this process the other lower stages, they all disappear. Okay, so Vishwanatha Thakur says, but this is not true in the case of bhava, prema and the advanced stages of bhakti. So what he says is, bhava becomes prema without giving up its previous state. Okay, because of the achintya shakti present in rati. Rati is called bhava. So achintya shakti is present in rati, prema, sneha, rag, man, pranaya, anurag, mahabhav. So from bhava till the stage of mahabhav, all these stages are present. They are all eternal. See, that's why if you all remember, when we were discussing about bhava bhakti, it was mentioned very clearly that bhava, which is, you know, the functioning of the mind, is actually an eternal function. Okay, it's eternally there in the Nitya Siddhas also. If you all remember, we were discussing this point. Okay, so bhava is always eternal. So it is never, it never disappears. It's always there. Okay, so why? Because achintya shakti is present in bhava, prema, sneha, rag, man, pranaya, anurag and mahabhav, which are the supreme transformations of labhini shakti. So in all these stages, the Radhini Shakti is present. Okay, that's why it is eternal. Okay, so thus bhava exists separately from prema, and sneha and other advanced stages exist separately from prema. Okay, so now an example, wonderful example Vishwanatha Thakur gives. So he says, one side note here is that though bhava matures into prema, it should also be eternal and should thus remain even after prema appears. A devotee can have experience of lesser intensity in bhava or more intensity prema, rag, sneha, etc. Bhava takes one of the five principal forms as sthayi bhava. So sthayi bhava is a permanent mellow. Okay, shantrati, dasyarati, sakhyarati, vatsalarati or madhurarati. So this rati is a permanent mellow and it is eternally present. Okay, so when we are talking about rati, so it means the five permanent mellows. Okay, so this remains with the devotee permanently, with the exception of Shantarati, which may transform into higher rathis. Of course, the impurity is present in bhava immediately following sadhana in the form of anarthas, would not be present when it is experienced at a later stage. So obviously the anarthas are not present at the stage of prema and further stages. Okay, so this is a side note. And one more thing should be understood. Now, very wonderful example Vishwanatha Thakur quotes. So he says, how to understand this? So he gives an example. The balya body of Krishna attains a little more sweetness and attains the pagand state, but without giving up the balya state. The pagand's body then attains more excellence and becomes a kaishor body without giving up the previous condition. It is unlike the material body, which on attaining boyhood gives up to its baby body. This is because all the pastimes of Krishna during all his ages with all his bodies are eternal. Point to be noted. Okay, so Krishna's pastimes in all his ages are all eternal. Okay, when Krishna enters his paganda body, the balya body disappears and then appears in the universe in which his balya pastimes are about to begin. The balya body appears wherever the balya pastimes begin, in the Vrindavan within particular universe. The balya body of Krishna will also appear in a future kalpa of Brahma during the Vaivasvat Manvantar when Vrindavan appears on earth again. Similar to this, the sun disappears from this continent in the evening and appears in another continent. But after 12 hours, it again appears in this continent. The eternal nature of past times and ages of Krishna are explained in detail in the commentaries of the Bhagavatam by the devotees. So, yeah. Getting back to the present case, among those who have bhava, prema and sthayi bhavas, when a particular sthayi bhava appears in a devotee under particular conditions or causes, one should understand that the other bhavas are still present in the devotee, but in unmanifest forms. They are not destroyed. Similarly, among material persons who have anger, lust and other emotions, when one emotion among them surfaces, the others still exist, but in the form of impressions. Right? So this is a wonderful commentary by Vishwanatha Thakur. So any question or any comment, I hope everyone understood.
So in the spiritual world also, Balya Lila is enacted, na? As and when the pastime is required. Or according
to... that is what I've heard. That is what I heard. That in the spiritual world also, you know, depending the desire of Yashoda Maiya, the Krishna will, you know, take the Balya form. But I think that is not eternal. Like, you know, just like we're discussing about the demons entering the spiritual world and Krishna going to kill Kamsa and all that thing happening in the spiritual world. So similarly, these pastimes are depending on the, you know, desires of the devotees. So it's all like, you know, temporary manifestation. So, but Krishna's original form is eternally, you know, Kesar form, youth form. And obviously, Krishna's Balya Lila is always going on in the material world. So that's another thing. So what Vishwanatha Thakur is giving example, that's of Bhoma Vrindavan. Okay. So yeah, like, you know, in one sense, one could say that Krishna's Balya Lila is also eternally present because there is no time in the spiritual world and it also recurs. You know, it recurs. The pastime is reoccurring. Okay. It's not that there is only one, you know, one time desire of Yashoda Maiya and Nand Maharaj that they want to see Krishna in the Balya form. No, this desire might be manifested on a, you know, periodical basis, basically. Okay. It might not be there forever, but it can be manifested on a regular basis, like, you know, the way the demons are entering the spiritual world like that. So by the special arrangement of the Lord, these things can happen in the spiritual world also. Nothing is impossible for Krishna. So he can manifest anything at any time, you know, in spiritual world or in the material world. Yeah, so any other question?
Prabhuji, the last time which you said about that impression and all that, last one or two lines.
Not able to hear you, Madhuri. Can you speak a little louder?
The last line which you said about the impression and all, like the bhava save and something. Last two lines which you were reading from that chapter.
Yeah, so what is the question?
So I could not hear that properly. So I just want to, like, that is possible.
Yeah, it's only mentioned that the previous stages do not disappear. That's the meaning of that. So they are all present.
Okay.
So right from the stage of Rati to Mahabhav. So all these stages are present.
Okay.
Like, you know, he gives analogy of, you know, in the material world, the material persons who have anger, lust and other emotions. So one emotion among them surfaces, but the others still exist in the form of impressions, like that. So this example is given.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so any question or comment? Okay, so now, you know, Srila Prabhupada explains the two types of ways to attain prema. So one is ecstasy and one is Lord's extraordinary mercy. So this prema for the Lord has two types, that arising from bhava and that arising from mercy. So that bhava which reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all the essential angas is called prema, arising from bhava. Okay, so this is the prema, that bhava. So what is the meaning of that? That someone who has the level of bhava, you know, when bhava stage is reached, which and that bhava that reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all essential angas. So angas are defined in relation to sadhana bhakti. But the same activities continue in bhava and prema also, though they are called anubhavs after sadhana is finished. So you all remember, you know, we are discussing the differentiation between Cheshta Rupa Bhakti and Bhava Rupa Bhakti. And then Cheshta Rupa Bhakti had two parts. Anyone remembers?
Yeah, that's
thai
and reflection.
That. No, it comes in the category of Bhava Bhakti, Bhava Rupa Bhakti. So we are talking about, okay. What is Cheshta Rupa? Cheshta Rupa is divided into two types.
The Karya Sita and...
Haan, Karya Rupa and?
Bhava Rupa.
Bhava Rupa and Karya
Rupa. How can Bhava Rupa and Karya Rupa be the same? Bhava Rupa Bhakti is a separate category. I'm asking about Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. So that what are the two categories of Cheshta Rupa Bhakti? So what is the meaning of Cheshta Rupa Bhakti? We have all, and what is the different, what is the difference between Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa Bhakti?
Krishna Prabhu. Cheshta Rupa is devotional services with one's endeavor.
With?
And Bhava Rupa is devotional service executed with one's emotions.
Correct, Matari. Yeah, that's correct. Ujwal Kalini Matari. Yeah, that's right. So, did you all understand? Cheshta Rupa Bhakti is concerning, involving actions. And Bhava Rupa Bhakti is involving emotions. Okay, so under Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, there are two categories, further categories. Anyone remembers which are that? So 1 to 16 chapters are dedicated to that, one of the category in, under Cheshta Rupa. What are the 1 to... Sadhana Rupa Bhakti. So Sadhana Bhakti is the further categorization of Cheshta Rupa Bhakti. And after Sadhana Rupa Bhakti, then there is another category, which is what?
It is Sadhya.
It is Karya Rupa Bhakti. Okay, so what is the difference between Sadhana Rupa Bhakti and Karya Rupa Bhakti? So these both categories are under the category of Cheshta Rupa Bhakti, okay? And Bhava Rupa Bhakti is a separate category. So we know that Cheshta Rupa Bhakti is involving actions, right? So then Sadhana Rupa Bhakti and Bhava Rupa Bhakti both should involve, Karya Rupa Bhakti and Sadhana Rupa Bhakti both should involve actions. So then what is the difference between them?
One is the result of that activities is Bhava, and the other one is from the Bhava we do, next later on we do the endeavors.
Yeah, correct. That's right, Madhuri. So, Sadhana Rupa Bhakti is leading up to the state of Bhava, right? It's just the Sadhya. And once the Sadhya is reached, when we reach the state of Bhava, and then whatever actions we perform connected to the state of Bhava, it is coming in the category of Karya Rupa Bhakti. So, Karya Rupa Bhakti is that kind of bhakti which is involving actions after the state of Bhava. And Sadhana Rupa Bhakti is that bhakti which is involving actions leading to the state of Bhava. So this is the difference between the two. So I hope you understand. Now, see, why Bhava Rupa Bhakti is a separate category? It's different from Cheshta Rupa because in Bhava Rupa Bhakti, everything is involving emotions. It's not involving actions. So that's why here it is mentioned, Ganga is defined in relation to sadhana bhakti, but the same activities continue in bhava and prema, right? So there are actions which are at the stage of bhava and prema, but these actions then, you know, they become anubhavs after sadhana is finished. Okay, so this is the difference. I hope everyone is following and understanding. If you have any, you know, like, if you'd like to refer to this, then you can actually refer to our Bhava Bhakti lecture. I don't know if the recording was available for this or not. Okay, so see, why we were discussing this, because we are discussing arising from Bhava. So there are two ways to gain prema, to attain prema. One is through Bhava and one is through Lord's extraordinary mercy. Right? So the prema arising from Bhava is what we are discussing right now. Okay, and the definition is that Bhava which reaches the highest excellence by continual service using all the essential angas is called prema arising from Bhava. Okay, and what is the example? The example is given from the 11th canto. Okay, and Prabhupada here also mentions the same example. Obviously, he's just copy-pasting the examples from Bhaktisamrita Sindhu. So, the example here is given of 11th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 40. So, a devotee in course of executing 82 principles of devotional service develops his natural Krishna consciousness, and being thus softened at heart, he chants and dances like a madman while performing chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So this is the example of prema arising from bhava. See, that's why it is in the category of ecstasy. Okay. Okay, so that is the example of prema arising from bhava. So now, further on, Jiva Goswami says that by following the rules of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, Vaidhi Bhav appears. And from that Vaidhi Bhav appears a corresponding prema. Okay. So, Vishwanatha Thakur says that I think this is not required. There are two different categories of prema and bhava. So by Vaidhi Sadhan you attain a particular type of bhava, and then you reach a corresponding prema. And by Raganuga Sadhana, you reach a corresponding bhava and prema. So there are two different categories of bhava and prema. Vaidhi bhava and Raganuga bhava. Okay. So, are you all following?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah. Now, the example that is given here, in the Padma Puran, what Prabhupada is doing here is actually bifurcating the two different types of bhava. So one is through Vaidhi Sadhana and one is through Raganuga Sadhana. So the second example of Padma Puran is quoted of Chandrakanti. So she achieved that kind of bhava through Raganuga Bhakti, Raganuga Sadhana. Okay. So prema arising from bhava based on Raganuga Sadhana is described. Okay. So it is understood that because she meditated only on the deity of Krishna, she had already achieved bhav for that deity. She did not desire anyone else as her husband. This indicates a feeling of deep possessiveness of Krishna. Thus, prema indicated as per the definition of the meaning becomes she developed complete affection. So this particular example in the Padma Purana of Chandrakanti refers to Raganuga Sadhana or Raganuga Bhava. Okay, and previous example indicated Vaidhi Bhava. And through that bhava, you attain prema. And through Raganuga Sadhana, you attain another special kind of prema. So this prema is more deep. It is intense because it is coming from Raganuga Sadhana. Is this clear?
So I have one question.
Yeah.
So what are the destinations attained by those who have Vaidhi Bhav and others who have Raganga Bhav?
What are the
destinations of those persons who possess Vaidhi Bhav?
Yeah. Yeah, so see now, if you remember one time, you know, we were discussing about Goloka Vrindavan, how, you know, there are different categories, sections in Goloka, like, you know, what are the different destinations the devotees attain according to their desire, if you all remember. So, you know, like I had, you know, kind, you know, explained this, you know, concept of Vaidhi and Raganuga, that and at the same, so it depends on the devotee's bhav. At the same time, it also depends on the object of bhav. Okay, the vishai. So who is the vishai? So if Krishna and Radha is the vishai, then if you approach Krishna and Radha through Vaidhi bhakti, okay, so what happens? Then you attain Aishwarya bhav in Goloka. Okay, if you approach Radha and Krishna in Vaidhi bhakti, then you actually attain Goloka, but you attain Aishwarya Goloka. So you are actually worshipping Radha Krishna in Aishwarya Bhav, in Goloka. Okay. And those who approach Radha and Krishna in Raganuga Bhakti, they will attain, you know, Madhurya Dham, completely Madhurya Dham. No on reverence, it's only sweetness. And they will also go to Goloka, but they will attain a section of Goloka where there is Madhurya Bhav, only Madhurya Ras. And those who want to worship Radha and Krishna, they will attain Aishwarya Goloka, where there is awe and reverence for Radha and Krishna. Okay. So, is this clear now, the, you know, destination? So it also depends of, you know, like your Vishai, if he is Vishnu, then you go to Vaikuntha. If your Vishai is Rukmini Dwarkadish, then you go to Dwarka. Okay, and Rukmini Dwarkadish, they are only through Vaidhi Sadhana. Okay, there may be a tinge of, you know, spontaneous devotion, but it is majorly covered with Aishwarya Bhav.
So, Prabhuji, while executing Sadhana Bhakti as Krishna as one's Ishtadev, so how can we discriminate that in order to get Raganuga Bhav, one should employ X, Y, Z angas of devotional service, or if one wants to have Vaidhi, should accept some other limbs of bhakti? Is there any discrimination, or just as we are following sadhana bhakti, we have to do, but we have to just keep in our mind where we are?
See, so now, first of all, I will tell you that spontaneous devotion is also there in, Vaikuntha, in the sense that, see, when you advance to the stages of, you know, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, obviously the devotion is spontaneous. You are not forced to do it. So that is one definition of spontaneous devotion. Okay, but when we talk about Raganuga Bhakti, when, you know, it is specially where we are actually referring to following the footsteps of the Vrajvasins. So if that is your bhav, to follow in the footsteps of Vrajvasins, then you attain Krishna Loka. Okay. And if you do not want to follow in the footsteps of Radha, you know, the associates of Radha and Krishna, then you attain Aishwarya Loka, Goloka, if your, you know, object of worship is Radha and Krishna. Because Vishwanatha Thakur and Jiva Goswami both clearly mentions that, you know, if your Vishai is Radha and Krishna, is not Rukmini Dwarkadish, then how can you attain Rukmini Dwarkadish? You know, if you have a desire to worship Radha and Krishna, then it's not possible that you will attain Rukmini Dwarkadish, you know, in Dwarka. You will attain Radha and Krishna in Goloka, but you'll see, although you see the coward form of Krishna, but you'll see him as God. Okay, so that depends on the bhav. If you approach them through Vaidhi bhav, then you'll see Radha and Krishna as supreme goddess and supreme god, like that. Although you see their original forms, but, you know, it will be an Aishwarya bhav, worship in Aishwarya bhav, awe and reverence. But if you, you know, if you follow in the footsteps of the associates of Krishna, Vrajvasis, then you attain a very, you know, intense state of prema. Okay, that's the highest form of prema. So, because through Raganuga Sadhana, you know, you actually attain a very deep possessiveness to the Lord. Okay, so that kind of prema is very special, and it is more intense actually. Okay, because obviously Krishna, you know, he wants us to worship through Raganuga sadhana, you know, rather than Vaikuntha, you know, this Vaidhi Bhakti or something. So, so you see now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also bestowing the same kind of bhava to us, the highest kind of prema, you know, and obviously he has specified that we have to follow in the footsteps of Rajvasis, very clear from Chaitanya Charitamrita, also from Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, but it then depends on the devotee's vow. If they desire different destination, then they will get those kind of destinations. Okay, so like that. Okay, so now, you know, when we are performing any limb of devotion, the purpose arises. If that is the purpose, then you are actually on the right track. You are in the path of Raganuga Bhakti. Okay, but if you are performing the limbs of bhakti and still you are cultivating the Aishwarya Bhav forever with no desire to fall in the footsteps of the Rajasi, then you are attained by the Bhava, by the Prima.
But Proji, how will we know that we don't have to cultivate the we'll come to that level where we don't have to cultivate awe and reverence for Krishna? Otherwise, if prematurely one does that, then it would be very dangerous for him. And without knowing what our level is, we cannot do that also, no? So at least on this platform, we will execute Vaidhi only. So from there,
So see, that's why, that is the reason Rupa Goswami mentioned this in Bhakta Samrita Sindhu, that externally one has to behave like a sadhaka, but internal cultivation is the most important thing, okay? So externally you don't show that you are on the rag marg, but you show yourself as, you know, following strictly by rules, regulations. So that is the balance approach. Okay. Actually, in one podcast, Shivram Maharaj was mentioning about this point. He was saying that someone was asking this question that in ISKCON, you know, we are supposed to follow Vaidhi Marg, like externally, what is given by Rupa Goswami, and internally we can try to, you know, follow in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. And obviously that mood and everything will come at higher stages. Okay, so see, the first thing is that you have to get attached to a particular associate of Krishna in Goloka. Okay, so basically, you know, so what does it mean? So if you want to get attached to someone, so then first you should know your rasa, that which rasa is, you know, you are most inclined to, or which is most inspiring to you naturally. Okay, so then once that rasa is fixed, then you will also fix the associate after that. Because if you don't know your rasa, then how can you understand who is the associate whom you are supposed to follow, right? So all these steps are gradually revealed to us, step by step. Okay, so then you choose the associate of Krishna, and then you think. And then obviously, you know, that Raganuga sadhana, you know, practice, that internal cultivation, meditation and all that is there, which we, you know, it's like we are not supposed to do that in ISKCON. Maybe, you know, some are probably doing it, you know, but at the same time, it all depends on the guru and disciple finally. And, you know, it might be possible that they might be doing it, you know, internal meditation, they might be doing it for a couple of hours a day. You know, not throughout the day, but maybe a couple of hours a day, whenever they get some time during their bhajan, during their sadhana, they might be meditating like that probably. We don't know that. So, but it you know, starting from 2 hours, it goes to 4 hours, 6 hours, and then it becomes a constant meditation. So if someone becomes a bhajanandi, then it is possible for him to meditate internally, completely. Okay, and ashtakali yuga smaranam, you know, like, and then following the footsteps of the Rajasis internally. So, but obviously, you know, we have a mission. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to preach. So it's not possible for us to do simultaneously. It's very difficult, obviously. It's not, you know, it's not so easy. So when we do sadhana, by the blessings of Guru, by, you know, sharing with the Guru our sentiments and our, you know, like whatever we have experienced, we can share with the Guru, and then the Guru will say, okay, you know, like, you can do this or you can do that. Like, it's a, you know, private affair between Guru and disciple. And maybe the disciple might be, you know, he can meditate during the sadhana.
No,
and when one preaches, then you know. Okay, so this is the understanding, you know. This is the understanding about how everything is balanced, and ultimately, see, the principle, fundamental principle in ISKCON is that the chanting is going to reveal everything. So meditation, I am not sure. See, now I don't know, you know, which guru, which sannyasi, they are, you know, allowing their disciples to meditate during, you know. What I've heard from almost each and every devotee in ISKCON is that they all say that chanting is going to reveal everything. So now, you know, that obviously, you know, and I cannot ask, you know, any other sannyasi or guru, you know, that would you recommend to meditate your disciple and all that. So it's a private thing. So I don't know what, you know, what is going on, but to reveal everything, okay, because if we are not meditating, then obviously by the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through preaching, reveal us, you know, by his mercy, be revealed to us. It should actually manifest naturally. All these things should manifest naturally. Okay, so does this make sense to you?
Rohit, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur had also said that by chanting of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it is so powerful that you can have the realization of samadhi in your daily walks of life also. While doing your daily chores also, you can have that kind of experience. So by
what does that mean? What it means that you chant offenselessly, okay, and what is the meaning of offenseless? You know, you are, it is assumed that you are doing everything, you know, properly, perfectly. So you are following the instruction of Guru, you are pleasing the Guru, you are, whatever he wants from you, you are doing it, everything is offenseless, you are not offending Vaishnavas. And obviously then the holy name, and then even if you are working or whatever it is, you know, it will come to you, you know, because the holy name is bestowing, you know, empowerment. He's actually, the holy name is revealing itself to you. So all these things can happen naturally, you know, like even while you work. Okay, but obviously it's a very high stage, right? Because, you know, when we talk about offenseless chanting, then we can understand, you know, what stage it must be. So it should be steady also. Not that, you know, one day we are offenseless, next day we commit aparadh. So that's not offenseless. Offenseless means it should be steady throughout our life. That character, you know, that behavior. So so the details of our spiritual life also matter a lot. And for offenseless chanting to come, or even to chant continuously the name of the Lord, we all know, Trinam api sunichana, taro api sahishnuna, amanina marena kirtaniya sadari. So we first have to understand that humility should come first. All other things, you know, advanced stages will actually come later on, because that's how, you know, after Anantanibriti, the first thing that comes is humility. So if humility is not coming, it means, you know, we are still in the stage of Anantanibriti. Okay. So that's how we can understand. And through humility alone, you know, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it's like, you know, it has to be worn like a, you know, a necklace around our neck. You know, because that's the key actually to the spiritual world. So that's how actually everything is going to be revealed. So you know, we might be able to chant, you know, 64 rounds or maybe more than that, probably, you know, regularly over a period of time. But it does not mean that, you know, we have a key to the spiritual world, or we have a key to open the mysteries of the holy name. It is the mystery of holy name is only going to be revealed to us by the causeless mercy of the Lord, and obviously for that the key is Trinanapi Sunichana. So humility is the key for that. No, nothing else. Okay. So is this, like, does this make sense?
Yes, sir. Roji, and Smaran is one of the limb of devotional service, right? So in
what?
Smaran also. Smaranam.
Okay. Haan.
So it is part of a Navdha Bhakti, and Rupa Goswami also gives in his Upadeshamrut that there are stages of Smaranam also. That is,
correct. Yeah. Five stages are there. Yeah. Right.
And then ultimately Samadhi. So just remembrance, that is, there is interrupted remembrance, and then contemplation is that you try to focus your mind on Krishna. So the thing that Rupa Goswami has mentioned is so that one can perform that also. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapil Muni has also told about the detailed meditation to his mother Devahuti, and in other prayers also by demigods and other devotees, they have mentioned that how to meditate on the Lord. And all the acharyas have also given various scriptures. For example, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given different scriptures like Radha Dhyanamrit and everything. So then why they have provided? I mean, in order to facilitate, actually to cultivate this Krishna consciousness, is needed to think about Krishna. So while reading, for example, Krishna Leelas, we are under voluntary thinking also, there is purification. So I guess there is no harm in thinking about Krishna. Because if we won't think only about Krishna, then how we will develop our love for him? Right? I mean, through your
shastras and everything. Yeah, of course. See, the goal of chanting is remembrance, finally. Because, you know, you can keep chanting, but if your mind is somewhere else, if you can't remember, you know, the form of the Lord while chanting, or it does not appear to you, you know, then what is the use of that kind of chanting, you know? So, ultimately, the goal is, you know, always remember Krishna, never forget him. But the remembrance has different stages, as, you know, like, you know, there is... 5 stages of remembrance, and the last one is samadhi. So obviously, see, that stages are different, okay, in the sense that you are, see, the remembrance of, you know, like you hear some pastime of Krishna and then you remember that, that's a different thing. You remember the form of the Lord, that's a different thing. But when you sit down and if you remember the Ashtakalya Lila, okay, so that's something which is not recommended at our stage. So you remember Krishna, you get purified. You always try to remember Krishna, you get purified. But then if you try to remember the activities which are not recommended and which are, you know, which requires qualification at, you know, different level of stages, then it will be a problem, okay? Because if you unnecessarily try to jump into his pastimes, especially his Ashtakalya Lila's pastimes, which are the Nitya Lila pastimes, okay? So there is Naimittik Lila and there is Nitya Lila. If you remember the Naimittik Lila, that is absolutely okay. No? Like, that's purification. Because we have to continuously read about Krishna killing the demons. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that these demons are representative of our anarthas, right? So, because we are not freed from anarthas, then that's why we cannot directly jump to the Nitya Lila of the Lord. So we don't meditate on that. Okay. But, now, another thing is, when you are not doing seva, and if you are remembering, you know, or naturally, you know, the remembrance comes to you, then it is very good. You know, then you are getting purified through that remembrance, and you know, we will get more attached to the Lord and his pastimes and, you know, his activities through the remembrance. Okay. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says that there is a Mahaprabhu Ashtakalya Lila Swaram Stotram, that, you know, before remembering the eightfold pastimes of Krishna, one should actually remember the eightfold pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, but again, you know, now this is a Nitya Lila of Mahaprabhu. So this, Prabhupada never has mentioned about Nitya Lila Smaranam. Okay, so we should not do that. But we can, you know, we can go in a perfect, you know, the right mood and attitude, we can approach the Lord. And, you know, we can try to remember the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. They are offenseless. Okay, some of the pastimes of Krishna are, like, you know, offensive in the sense that if they are not approached in the right mood, then we commit offenses. Okay, but if we approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, if we remember his pastimes, maybe Naimittik Lila in the material world, then the you know, purification is faster without offenses, right? The offenses are not considered. So there is a process, you know. If you remember the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regularly, it's good. It's very good, actually. Okay. So yeah, so that kind of remembrance is always helpful. That is not something that we should not do or something, but certain pastimes of the Lord, we have to have qualification. So we cannot start thinking. See, even Rasleela is actually Bhoma Vrindavan pastime. It does not mean that we start thinking on only Rasleela, you know, and the gopis and, you know, what Krishna does with them, you know, like, so all these things are intimate details. So we should not try to approach the Lord you know, through those intimate details. We have to purify ourselves. So that's why we have to remember all the pastimes, you know. It's not that only Krishna Leela, like, you know, the Acharyas, they have given commentary on everything, right, from the first canto to 12th canto. And then they have also given commentaries on the Mahabharata and Ram, right? So the, you know, like, it's not we have to only focus on some particular pastime. So that happens at advanced stages. Okay. So, and obviously the remembrance is also random in the beginning, in the sense that sometimes you remember one particular pastime of Lord, then other time you remember some different pastime. Then, or you might, you know, recollect or remember or meditate on the pastime of some Vishnu incarnation, like Lord Ramchandra Narsingha, like that. So all these things, you know, they are also there. Like, so these are, I am, you know, like I want the highest destination, so I'm going to only remember Krishna's pastimes. Baki sab pastimes, mereko ko lena dena nahi hai. So that is not the right mood. Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, you know, he talks about Narsingadev, you know, so much. And, you know, he worships Lord Narsingadev because Narsingadev is the remover of obstacles in the path of bhakti. And, you know, one can come from Vaidhi Bhakti to Raganuga Bhakti through the special mercy of Lord Narsingadev. Okay, so that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his, one of his prayers to Lord Narsingadev. So all these things we have to remember that, and see, now one more thing is very important. See, again and again, you know, I'm saying this point, that because in ISKCON we have a mission, so we should try to meditate on accomplishing the mission. Okay, that is more important, you know, rather than trying to, see, because when we are trying to preach, so then obviously we have to prepare ourselves. We have to present, you know, to people, how should we preach? And for that, a lot of preparation is required. So we have to meditate. That how can I do my service very effectively? Okay, so that itself consumes so much time that you will not have the time to remember many times in the past times of the Lord. So see, that's the reason, you know, if you are simply following the order of the Guru, then, and obviously, when you have free time, you can remember, you know, whenever you have the chance. You know, the purpose of sadhana is to go deeply into our, you know, Krishna consciousness. So that time we can try to go deep. Okay, but when we have to do service, then we have to focus on service. Okay, so we cannot go to the Guru and tell him that, Maharaj, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm willing to serve, but I want to, while serving, I want to remember the, you know, pastimes of the Lord. So, you know, obviously then it's not going to be, you know, your service is not going to be effective, you know, because your mind will be somewhere else. You cannot focus. Okay, so you have to, so whatever is given by, see, order of Guru means order of Krishna. So, and ultimate, the ultimate goal is, see, that's why yesterday in CC class, you know, we have discussed this point, that the ecstasy that we come across, we don't want that, because it that is interfering with our service, or whatever is, you know, pleasing to the Lord. So if Lord wants us to preach, then we have to preach. We have to forget about, you know, the pastimes and all, everything. So we have the faith that by pleasing the Lord, the holy name is going to reveal everything at the right time. Okay, but if you don't please the Guru and don't please the Lord, then no matter how much you remember pastimes, you will not be able to remember Krishna at the time of his death, you know, because you do not follow his instruction. So this is a principle. This we have to always keep in mind. Okay, so whatever Guru wants from us, we have to do that first. And then everything else will follow. And obviously, you know, see, when we are under the shelter of a Guru, then by his mercy, his special mercy, you know, everything will be revealed to us. See, because the holy name is, it can reveal the Swarupa, but even our Guru or even a, you know, advanced devotee can also reveal our Swarup. So we have to try to, you know, we have to do this, you know, Nam Ruchi Vaishnava Seva Jivdaya, these three things as Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then it is perfect. Our, you know, everything is perfect. Then we are at the right time. So just focus on pleasing Guru, you know, like, and actually in one sense, Rag Bhakti means exclusive devotion at the feet of the Guru. Exclusive faith, exclusive devotion. One-pointed attention to the feet of the Guru, basically. So that is also Rag Bhakti in one sense. No, because you like one-pointed attention to the Guru, you are automatically, you know, developing those kind of, you know, emotions and bhav for the Lord. So everything will come naturally. So, okay. So does this answer your question, Guru? Hare Krishna? Pranav Prabhu? I was speaking there, but I don't know. Are you well? Other devotees are there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
I think maybe okay. Just now got connected. Somebody got disconnected just now.
Acha. So, yeah, okay.
Yes.
So, any other question or doubt on this? Okay, so we have covered ecstasy. Now we'll see the Lord's extraordinary mercy. So now prema arising from the great mercy of the Lord is explained. So the great mercy of the Lord in such things as the Lord giving his association to the devotee. So Vishwanatha Thakur says that the Lord giving personal association to devotee is called Ati Prasad or extreme mercy, because that is the result of the Lord's mercy. Okay, so here the example Prabhupada gives is again from the 11th canto. Lord Krishna telling Uddhava, you know, that the Gopis and Navan did not study this, that. And, you know, so why, how they achieved that? Because they actually associated with the Lord. And by that association, they got Ati Prasad of the Lord. Extreme mercy. Okay, so extraordinary mercy, because of that, they attained prema. Okay. Now, further on, as you know, Srila Prabhupada also explains that prema arising from the Lord's mercy has two types. That endowed with knowledge of the Lord's powers and that endowed with knowledge of Lord's sweetness. Okay, so prema has two types arising from bhava. You know, just as like bhava had also two types, you know, and similarly extraordinary mercy also has two types. So one is kevala, okay, and one is this is not in context actually, but okay, so what here it means is that prema has two types arising from the Lord's extraordinary mercy, and prema has two types arising from bhava. So now we are actually discussing about prema arising from the Lord's extraordinary mercy, which are of two types. So when you, through Vaidhi or, you know, or one's awareness of the Lord, and then another is through the knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. So these are the two types. Okay, so then the Acharyas explained that realizing only sweetness takes place exclusively in the form of Raj Krishna. Not even in Mathura or Dwarka. Whereas sweetness is mixed with awareness of Krishna as God in Mathura and Dwarka. Okay, so in Mathura and Dwarka, the sweetness is mixed with awareness of Krishna as God. Realization of Vaikuntha Vishnu produces the predominance of Aishwarya Bhav. Okay. Now, prema endowed with knowledge of the power of the Lord arising from the Lord's mercy is described in the Panchratra. So, this example was also given by Prabhupada, right? In the Narad Panchratra.
Aapne kya usko bhoksha na koi kela hai? Tani tumse.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We are trying now.
Yeah.
Huh?
We got disconnected. We tried Bari Bari Ravi Mataji's number and
lecture. Oh, acha acha, okay. So, so prema arising from the Lord's extraordinary mercy, but with the knowledge of power of the Lord. So that is described in Panchratra, right? Affection for the Lord more than anyone else, which is very firm, includes knowledge of God, power, is called bhakti. By that bhakti, a person attains powers in the spiritual world as well as other rewards. There is no other way of attaining such things. Okay. So there are, is everyone following? So now see, there are two extraordinary mercy through which we can develop prema, one through the knowledge of Lord's power, and one another is knowledge without Lord's power, which is knowledge of sweetness of the Lord. So now the Pancharatra describes two examples of this. So one example related to that which knowledge of Lord's powers, and so, and then the other is described as that which we attain through the knowledge of Lord's sweetness.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Pranav Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhu. I got disconnected.
I was speaking. I don't know when
but I
got get disconnected.
It was only 3 minutes, I guess.
Achcha, okay.
Yeah. I got the answer.
Yeah, so it ultimately depends on the order of the Guru, you know, final, like, that's the final thing, actually. So, and then obviously, each and every devotee, they have their uniqueness, individuality with Krishna, their relationship they share with Krishna. So, depending on your bhav, the Lord will manifest to you. Okay, so if you want to attain Braj Krishna, you know, the sweetness, then you have to follow in the footsteps of the Guru. See, and then with time, it will be revealed to you. You know, the rasa, the associate that you are supposed to follow and all that will be revealed to you, like that. Okay, so, now with the knowledge of the Lord's powers or greatness, complete affection for the Lord is called, you know, that kind of bhakti is there. By that type of bhakti, the person attains Shashti and other blessings. So if you all remember, there are four types of liberation. So you attain those liberations, you know, those kind of destinations. When you have the knowledge of the Lord of, you know, with power and with greatness. Okay. And then for Vaidhi, both Vaidhi Bhaktas and Raghunuga Bhaktas, Sambandha Gyan, which includes knowledge of the difference between God and Jiva, and their respective qualities, is a prerequisite for proper sadhana. In Raghunuga Bhakti, however, this knowledge does not. See, to Pranav Prabhu, you know, you are asking about that, okay, you know, at some point of time, at some point of stage, in our spiritual life, we are attracted to Vraj Krishna, then we have to, like, get those kind of inclinations, you know, to follow a particular associate. So then, externally, but, you know, we are sorting as a sadhaka. But here, so it is clear, you know, Acharya say that though you are practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, however, this knowledge does not restrict their feelings of intimacy with the Lord and awareness of Krishna as God. So, although externally you might be going to the temple, following everything, but internally your relationship with the Lord is different. It's more spontaneous. Okay, so that's what is the meaning, the difference between Vaidhi Bhaktas and Raghunuga Bhaktas. So, Sambandh Gyan is always there, you know, that Jiva and God is the master, is the supreme personality of God. All these things are there. See, even the Vrajvasis, they have the knowledge of the supreme God, but it does not interfere with their feelings. So immediately they will forget it, and you know they will see Krishna as their son. Okay, but the knowledge is there, but it's just not manifested anytime. That's the difference. Okay.
But that is due to yoga maya, na?
Yeah, it is covered by Yogmaya. So similarly, Yogmaya will do the needful. So everything is, you know, like, see, Krishna will do all, he'll make all the arrangements. So if some devotee is attracted to him, you know, then through Vraj Bhakti or, you know, whichever form and this thing, so he will provide, you know, that's what Krishna says in the Gita, that whatever we lack, we will provide that. So that's why it is mentioned here that, you know, even in Raghunuga, it does not restrict the feelings of intimacy with the Lord. And awareness of Krishna as God is not part. So what is, see, this is very important. Awareness of Krishna as God is not part of his emotional cultivation. So this word is very important, emotional cultivation. Means internally, you are always thinking of the Lord as your, you know, whichever rasa you are exchanging with him. So externally, you might be showing like that, but internally you are like, you know, always fixed up in your rasa with Krishna. Okay.
So we have one question. Now since there is Vaidhi Bhav and Raghunuga Bhav,
So as it is generally said that after Vaidhi Bhakti, one can Daganuga Bhakti, so it is not correct, right? So by gradual progression from Vaidhi, it will get converted into Raganuga, so it is not perfect. I mean, one has to follow the Raganuga Bhakti in order to achieve that Raganuga, as you said, you have to balance it. And that is, we have to walk in the footsteps of the Vrajavasi.
Between a Vaidhi Bhakta and a Raganuga Bhakta is, and when we are talking about Raganuga Bhakta, we are actually referring to following the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, okay? So what is the major difference between their thinking? That we have to understand. So it's a matter of emotional cultivation. A Vaidhi Bhakta, when he is reaching the state of Bhava Bhakti, in his mind, he is always having the knowledge of the Lord's power and awareness of his greatness. So he, within his mind also, he is always respectful with awe and reverence. You understand this? So externally, internally, both things are same. But for a Raganuga Bhakta, externally he is showing that just for the sake of, you know, set example. And you know, just to, you know, for humility purpose. And internally, his concept of the Lord is completely different. It is in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis. So he is going to approach the Lord in that way. So he, for him, Lord is going to be his friend or his lover, whatever. No, whatever rasa he is with Krishna. So like that. So that's the difference. Okay. So internal, external cultivation for a Vedic and reverence is always going to be there. But for a Raganuga practitioner, it is the internal thing is going to be different completely. And external thing can also become if he does not do anything, you know, if he is doing bhajan. So if he's not, you know, you see, now for example, even though, let's say, you know, Prabhupada was, you know, he's a Brajvasi, right? So he's on the level of, obviously, he's a Ragatmika Bhakta. He's not, he's not performing sadhana, right? He's a Ragatmika Bhakta. But we saw when he came, he has preached, he opened temples, and then obviously he had to set example for other devotees to follow. So as a sannyasi, he was following all the rules, regulations and everything. He was, when he's coming to the temple, he's going down to the deities and then, you know, many other formalities, rules, regulations, he's following that, right? So that, that the purpose is to set an example, you know, to set a standard. Like, you know, when Krishna is coming to the material world, the rules, regulations. And Krishna also says that, you know, when he is coming, then you know, he has to follow certain stuff because he has created the laws, and if he does not follow, then, you know, the sloka is quoted, like that. So if the great man do not standard, then the common man will not follow that, right? So similarly, when Raganuga Bhaktas, when they are practicing bhakti, externally, if they are taking the, then they have to perform certain activities, which is the responsibility, you know, it's a service to the Lord. So if they deviate from that, or if they do not follow that, thinking that they are on a higher platform, then it does not create a proper example, and then it will mislead all his disciples. So they do it, you know, they obviously out of their humility they do it at the same time to set an example. So externally they behave like that. But if someone is a bhajan and is not responsible, you know, to institution, organization or, you know, to any devotee, then he might externally also do, you know, certain activities in the, you know, spontaneous devotions, you know, activities in the spontaneous devotions. So he might not follow some rules. Okay. So like that we have to understand. So generally the Bhajnanandis, you know, they are like probably, you know, maybe, you know, if they are transcendental, then, you know, they can transgress some rules, regulations, you know, to like that. So that way we have to understand. So is this clear now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. So we saw the example of prema, which is arising from the knowledge of the Lord's greatness from the Panchatra. And now another example of Panchatra, which is the prema arising of the Lord with the knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. So this, that bhakti inundated with prema, with continuous spontaneous desire to please the Lord. So Prabhupada also gives this example, quotes the example, right? So this is the example for prema, which arises from the knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. Okay. So, it is mentioned that, Panchatra mentioned that bhakti inundated with prema, with continuous spontaneous desire to please the Lord, free of desires for other results, even the desire to seize powers, brings even Vishnu under control. Okay. So the side note, the Acharya says that actually Kevala Prema is Prema for Vraj Krishna, which literally means bringing Vishnu under control. In this context, it must mean that bhakti for Vraj Krishna is so attractive that even Vishnu becomes attracted to that kind of bhakti. An example is, anyone remembers that example from Krishna Leela?
When that Mahavishnu...
So he wants to see Krishna and Arjuna, right? So that in Arjuna's bhakti, however, there is a mixture of awareness of Krishna as God, along with sweetness. The prema would be the Vishnu expansions as cowherd boys and calves serving the attraction to Kevala Prema. So Kevala Prema is for Vraj Krishna, and the way Vishnu is serving Vraj Krishna is by expanding himself as cowherd boy and calves for 1 year. Okay, so Kevala Prema means you see Krishna as Krishna, you don't see him as God, like that. Okay, alright, so then it is further stated, those who have practiced Vaidhi Bhakti attain Prema with knowledge of the Lord's powers. Those who practice Raganuga Bhakti and then get the great mercy of the Lord usually attain Prema with the knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. So generally from Raganuga Sadhana one will attain Keval Prema. However, the practitioner of Raganuga, who also practices some portion of Vaidhi Sadhana, does not receive Keval Prema. Okay, so Vishwanath Thakur explains that if a person practicing Raganuga Sadhana performs Archana, which includes meditation on Rukmini and others of Dwarka, which are part of Vaidhi Bhakti, then the Lord Prema. So you got this point that, see, even though someone is practicing Raganuga Sadhana, but then the meditation of Rukmini and Jambavati Satyabhama, which belong to Dwarka portion, then the Lord is not going to bestow Keval Prema. So Keval Prema, because what happens is this Raganuga Sadhana is mixed with Vaidhi Sadhana, and that's why we cannot attain Keval Prema. Okay, so Keval Prema is exclusive to Vraj Krishna alone. So is this clear for everyone? Are you all following?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, what about other devotees? Do they have any question, comment? No one has any question? Is everyone understanding?
Prabhuji, I missed the last part because I got disconnected and I was trying the US number again. What Pranav
okay.
Prabhuji asked the question.
Whether
he starts the bhakti and then gradually go into and gradually go into Raganuga or you start from first
yeah,
and from
Raganuga? Yeah, voice is breaking, Madhuri.
No, like Pranav Prabhu asked this last question, no, that whether you start from, like we were in earlier lectures also we heard, from Vaidhi Bhakti you start and then later on you go to Raganuga. Is that the process for you initially only? There are different sets of people starting in different, you were talking about it and I got disconnected, right? So I didn't catch
okay.
the last explanation.
Yeah, so I was just saying that we all have to start with Vaidhi Sadhana because we are not on ocean. Because it's a practice.
You're talking about Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I could hear up the Prabhupada is a Ragatmika. That much I heard, yeah.
Right. So, see, Prabhupada only said this, you know, he has set the standard in ISKCON that, in fact, he has quoted so many letters in that most of the letters he has written that even the beauty in the temple, Radha Krishna, we have to approach them first through Lakshmi Narayan. So thinking them as Lakshmi Narayan, and that's how,
yeah.
you know, by advancing ourselves, you know, then spontaneously we'll probably start, you know, seeing them as Radha and Krishna. So Prabhupada also wanted to set that standard, and that's how we approach the Lord. initially, you know, we have in reverence to the Lord, but then obviously the ultimate goal Prabhupada has already given us, that Braj Bhakti is the highest. And you know, if you read Prabhupada's books, it's very clear. In all the books, he's always, and you know, he has always emphasized the love of the Vrajvasis, you know, and that like we should attain that kind of love. His emphasis basically. So it means that while practicing Vaidhi Sadhana, internally, you know, when the right time comes, you know, then we have to follow in the footsteps of the Vrajvasis. Or we have to cultivate those sentiments basically. Even though we are not able to follow in the footsteps, you know, if we are, our rasa is not revealed. I mean, many times, you know, it is like it happens in ISKCON that devotees, they have dedicated their life for resuscitated at the time of their passing away, or, you know, he has given them some kind of sickness, he has revealed to them from transcendental platform. So, like, you know, they realize their rasa and then which associate they are, you know, belong to and all that. So these things are all given to us by the holy name or by the guru. So I was just explaining to Pranav Prabhu that the major difference between a Vaidhi Bhakta and Raganuga Bhakta is that the internal emotion, the cultivation, that is different. So Vaidhi Bhakta will always think the Lord, he will see the Lord, you know, in the in reverence state always. Okay. Externally as well as internally. But Raganuga Bhakta will externally only, just to set an example, and because of his humility, he will follow the rules and regulations externally, but internally he will cultivate his rasa with the Lord. So then he will see Krishna as, you know, as one of his relative friends, whatever.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, okay. So this is, you know, till now we have discussed the two stages of how we reach the Lord, how we attain prema. So one is through bhava and one is through prema, Lord's extraordinary. So both, you know, there are examples. So in this, from the state of bhava, so there is an example of one who is, you know, talking like a madman, my holy name continuously and all that. That's from Vaidhi, you know, sadhana. And then from that is Raganuga sadhana, or Raganuga bhav is there. So from Raganuga bhav, we see the example of Chandrakanti. Okay, and then similar examples we also saw from Narada Panchatra. Now the prema which we attain from the Lord's mercy is again of two types. So one is from the knowledge of the Lord's greatness, and one is coming from the knowledge of the Lord's sweetness. Okay, so both examples are quoted from, again, from Narayana Panchatra. So this we have already finished. And then Rupa Goswami further goes on to explain the normal, or the, you know, the general prasero. And that is from Adavshada Tata Sadhu Sangha Tha Bhajana Kriya Tato Anartha Nibriti Sat Tato Nishta Ruchis Tata Asaktis Tato Bhav Tata Prema Vyudana Chati Sadhakanam Ayam Premna Pradu. Okay, so this is the process, you know, that we are following basically, sadhana bhakti process, which is starting from shraddha, sadhu sang, bhajana kriya, anartha nivritti, like that. Okay, so this is by sadhana bhakti. So this we get from sadhana bhakti, this type of prema. So Jiva Goswami says that though there are many steps in the progression of bhakti, the most common sequence is stated in two verses. So like he's explaining, you know, from shraddha to prema. Now this ever fresh prema, you know, arises in the heart of a person who is very fortunate. That person's behavior is very difficult to comprehend, even for those knowledgeable of scriptures. So obviously, someone who is at the level of prema, it's extremely difficult to judge them through their actions. It's actually not the business of any devotee to judge them, basically. Okay. So this we have to already understand. Therefore, in the Narada Panchatra, it is said, O Goddess Parvati, the person who is mad with love of God, being absorbed in highest bliss, does not know. So if you remember, Prabhupada is stating here, this is association with devotees. You see the second paragraph where Lord Shiva is telling Mother Parvati that they cannot even, such people, such devotees, that can't even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind. So one who is unaffected in any condition externally, so one may understand that that devotee is actually in the platform of prema or bhava. So very, very high stage. Okay. So to external, okay, so see, that the point is, now Jiva Goswami also further says that those learned in scriptures define the goals of life as the destruction of suffering and attainment of happiness. They try to understand if the prema bhaktas have achieved these two goals of life by looking at external appearance. But these prema bhaktas internally experience happiness and distress only from achieving or not achieving the Lord. Thus, others cannot understand the prema bhaktas' behavior. Okay. So now, then further on, see what Prabhupada also says, that affection and dealings of love, that are different branches of original tree of love, precede many varieties of affectionate manifestations. So what is that? That is sneha and other advanced stages. Man, pranaya, rag, anurag, thav, mahabhav. So sneha, other advanced stages are manifestations of prema, but because they are rare, even in those who have practiced bhakti, the distinctions will not be described here. Okay. And further on, so then Rupa Goswami says that Sri Sanatan Goswami, my master, has clearly described all the four conclusions of bhakti. Yeah.
Prabhuji, can you join me opposite?
Yeah, so Rupa Goswami says that, you know, Sanatan Goswami, my master, has clearly described all the sweetness of the conclusions of bhakti in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, though it is very esoteric. So then finally, he is concluding with the last sloka, Rupa Goswami, that may the eternal Lord in the beautiful form of cowherd boy who distributes his mood of love to Rama and other forms be pleased with this first part of the Bhakti Samrit Sindhu. Yeah, so this is the glory of Bhakti Samrit Sindhu, the eastern section we have finished. And with this, we end our Nectar of Devotion class, the summary study of Bhaktisamrita Sindhu by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, so now further sections are not described, explained, because they are very esoteric. And it's not required also. So all these things, you know, those who are practicing Raganuga Bhakti, or, you know, those who are very advanced stage, they will probably be able to relate and understand all these things. But for us, this is sufficient. So, Srila Rupa Goswami Jai, Srila Jeev Goswami Ki Jai, Srila Vishwanatha Thakur Pad Ki Jai, and Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktavrind Ki Jai, Tai Gop Premanande Hai, we bowl all ways to assemble devotees, Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai. Okay, so I am extremely grateful to all of you for giving me the opportunity to speak, allowing me to finish the entire Nectar of Devotion, which I never thought I would be able to do it. And obviously this experience of sharing Nectar of Devotion with you all is simply unique. It's going to be there in my life forever. It's you know, it's one of the most amazing experiences I ever had, because I just loved, you know, when I read Nectar of Devotion through the, you know, eyes of Jiva Goswami, Vishwanatha Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, and when I did some research on other things, other topics, I was just like so blissful. It was such a wonderful experience, like, you know, and it's all these acharyas, you know, they have given so much of taste to, you know, Nectar of Devotion, that it goes deep and deep into it. So, you know, obviously, you know, if ISKCON followers of Prabhupada would have gone further, you know, ahead of 19 chapter, then maybe we have, you know, I could have dared to go, you know, but because they have not done that, so I cannot dare to go like that. And obviously, I'm, you know, very unqualified and very fallen. So obviously, I cannot go beyond that. But obviously, you know, now 19 chapters, the eastern section itself gives so much, you know, knowledge, so much bliss. So we can just imagine what will be the bliss when we, you know, go further. Okay. So I really want to thank each and every devotee. You know, I actually pay my Dandavat Pranam to each and every devotee, like, you know, who have given me this opportunity. And very grateful to all of you. And, you know, I just wanted to share that, you know, everyone, you know, please, you know, provide your feedback. What, you know, how did you felt about the course? If there are certain improvements to be done, or maybe, you know, any kind of suggestion, they're most welcome. So what we'll be doing is, exams are obviously going, you know, they are there, you know, it's not like not each and every devotee has given the exam. So devotees who have not given exam, they are requested that, you know, they just remind me when their date is for, you know, for giving the exam. And once they finish the exam, then we'll have a review of the answers. So one class will be there for that. And then after a month, we'll have the second test. And then obviously after a month, the third test, like that. So I think what we decided yesterday is that we will have four exams, you know, excluding the first one. So there will be total five exams, and the rest four exams, each exam will have four chapters. So that way we'll finish 16 chapters in four exams, right? So, you know, so we should do it, you know, after a month. And in 4 months' time, I think, you know, we'll be done through the entire, you know, NOD course itself. And we'll also have the review, you know, like, so now the classes are over, but class remaining is the review of the answers. Okay, so once you all finish the first exam, then we'll have a review class. And then onward, we'll have whenever, you know, so see, this first exam, I gave flexibility to all the devotees according to their convenience. But yesterday we decided that the next exam, the second exam onwards, what we'll have is that you read four chapters, like from four to eight chapters, you read four, five, six, seven, four to seven. Okay, for these four chapters you read, and you only give the summary, the important points of the chapters, all the important points. Okay, so there will be no questions. You have to read the chapters, you have to hear the recordings, and then you provide the important points in the answer. So you take your time, you know, if you want 1 month for that, you take 1 month and prepare 1 month on that. And, you know, you just send me your summary of the whatever the main important points are there, the conceptual points are there. Okay, so I will be checking that. And, you know, all devotees, they will have different answers. So it will also allow them to understand the concepts, you know, while preparing for the summary. Okay, so at the same time, they will also remember for a long time. So that's what we decided yesterday, because everyone was comfortable with this idea. Rather than me asking or framing questions and then sending it to you and then you giving the exams, what happens is basically it creates a lot of anxiety for the devotees. And then, you know, the time frame is also not there to prepare. Like, it's kind of unexpected what the question, you know, what type of questions will come. So then we just thought that, okay, you all should just give the summary of the four chapters, present it in your own way. Okay. And that should cover all the important points, whichever is necessary. And from my recordings, you will also, you know, you can share what actually, because we have been sharing a lot of comments also. Okay. So does this make sense to all of you?
Yes,
so we'll do like that. We'll do like that. So all the devotees who have not given the exam, they are requested to give as soon as they can. And then we'll start with the, you know, the chapters continuing from there, 4 to 7, and then like that. So, all right. So, any question or any comment?
Prabhuji, I was disconnected, Prabhuji. So, I joined right now.
Yeah, so you were there yesterday for the CC class. So, you
were
aware.
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, that we are going to have summary exam now.
Yes.
So the first exam you just give now, and then later all the other exams, four exams will be summary exams.
Okay,
and
so
that will be fixed. That will be fixed date. Okay, you can submit early, but you cannot submit late now. Okay, so we have to have a fixed date. Otherwise, I will have to wait 2 months because the devotees, they are like, some is submitting early and some is submitting after 2 months. So it becomes a long time. So just now we are going to fix a date because you all know what is there in the exam and you have to prepare a summary. So summary you have for that 1 month. Okay, for four chapters, you have 1 month. So whatever you want, you write it. Like whatever best you can prepare.
So all four chapters, Prabhuji, CC?
We are not talking about CC. We are talking about NOD.
Okay, Prabhuji. Okay, okay. So fourth means fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh? Yeah.
So first, the devotees who are yet to finish their reads finish as soon as they can. So once I correct all the papers, then we have a review or question answer session. Because I will be going through. See, and one more thing, whichever devotee wants to know, where I have cut marks, why I have cut marks. So if they want personally, I am willing to do that. So they can call me also if they want. With their answer sheet, and then I will we can discuss one also, we can do it. So but if you all have faith that then you should have the faith then
yeah,
or probably you might know what you have written and all that. Okay, so faith is natural part of that. So when you see that you are getting the marks that you deserve, then automatically there is trust and faith. So that is the point. But it's open for everyone. If some devotees they felt that maybe I deserve more, then they will not say. If they get more marks, then they will come to me. Prabhuji, why did you give more? Please, So obviously, right? Actually, in one sense, I have given So that is not the question. Okay, the same thing, obviously I'm not so lenient that if you are missing important points, then they missed the point or then they can definitely approach. That's fine.
Who are the top five? When will we know?
So first let the other 15 devotees give the exam. So there are almost I think another 15 devotees who are yet to give exam.
So, who
have given
top five in this?
So, everyone is eager to know top five without writing exam, so.
By the time, if you wait for all the devotees, we forget what we must get, what to
worry. Yeah, no, don't worry. Anyways, we'll have a review session, answer review session will be there. So, obviously, whoever is in the top five, they deserve, they have to be appreciated because they have put efforts, they have understood topics is good, then obviously we have to appreciate them. So that's why, I will just mention, declare the scores of top five devotees and their names. That's the only thing that I'm going to declare. Everything is going to be, in the background, but only the top five scores. So now my plan is to start, at least, I would prefer that, devotees, if they are not able to attend regularly, then they should hear them. It will help them. Otherwise, it will be difficult, actually. Whatever we are doing, we should do it, with focus. Otherwise, neither here nor there, both sides. So, about this, if they would like to attend Krishna book series, then they have to probably sacrifice other things also, which come in the way, along the way, if they are not able to pardon. See, what happens is, something or the other will come up in the temple in some sense. So if you sacrifice, maybe, one, twice, it's okay, or you can make it up. Then it's your responsibility to, make up for the loss. Otherwise, to jump in between and, it just does not make sense, actually. So, see, that is the reason why exams are also there. Because when exam is there, then devotees feel, they understand also that we cannot do so many things at a time. If there are no exams, then everything now, attend or not, does not make any difference. Whether we remember or not, does not make. Whether we understand the concept or not, does not make a difference. So it becomes very, very, very comfortable, a comfort zone. But then obviously, you know, everything in devotional service, everything kind of, you know, activities, we have to make a commitment for, you know, and that commit causes as much as the Lord. So, I just appreciate, you know, some devotees, and maybe, you know, I might not recollect each and every devotee. So there are some few devotees who have, you know, they have shown complete dedication to the course, and they are really worthy of, you know, appreciation. So, they have been attending regularly, very hardly if they have probably missed one or two class. And they have also shown their dedication. So, just like to name a few devotees. Maybe, you know, if I forget someone, then I will probably, you know, try to mention that in our group. So, so we have, you know, right from the beginning itself, she's, till now, I think she has never missed a class. Probably maybe once. I don't remember that. But, you know, she has also made it up if she has missed. Srimataji, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hari Bol.
Yeah, Hari Bol. So we should all be, you know, it's an example, you know, it's an example for us. So her dedication is, so, and don't think that I am speaking in order. That, so Nidhi Mataji is number one. And then other, second means, you know, second number. No, I am not speaking in order. No, so I cannot say one word and it, you know, it means the names are, you know, so I am not Krishna. So don't consider that I am going in order. Okay, so all these devotees, they are like, you know, they have education equally. So then we have Sakshi Mohan Prabhu and Indulekha Mataji. Wonderful example, you know, Grihastha examples, and very dedicated, very, you know, sincere. They have, right from the beginning, you know, they have shown their commitment. So that's really a devotee to do this. So, yeah, I really wanted to appreciate them. Then Swati Mataji is there. Like, you know, are you there, Swati Mataji? Hare Krishna? Swati Mataji? Yeah, so she's also, like, you know, regularly attending, and whenever she's missing the class, she'll listen to it. So see, basically the point is that whoever is, you know, regularly attending, whether they are able to attend, you know, personally, obviously all these devotees, they have shown their dedication. But if there are certain, you know, cases where because of some other responsibilities or some, you know, other things going on, then at least they have heard the recordings and they have made up. That's what, you know, we all want, you know, like that's the most important thing. Okay, so, so, you know, these are wonderful examples. Then Alec, until now, you know, she has continued. So, Aribol? Yeah, so you are all there, no? Alekhya Mataji, you know, then who else? Usha Mataji, Ramakrishna Prabhu, they have also attended a lot of times, you know, almost regularly, we attended the classes. Then Vinita Mataji also, you know, she also joined late, but she has been quite regular. Maybe she has missed only a few times. So, yeah, so all these devotees, they are, you know, showing their dedication. That's wonderful. And that actually inspires me more, you know, to share.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, you are there?
Yes, I got disconnected.
Okay. Anybody else is there? Hare Krishna.
Oh, we are there, Prabhuji. Yeah, we were there.
Okay, okay.
2 hours over now, so maybe you might have got disconnected.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Who joined Nidhi Mataji?
Yes, yes, Mataji.
Hi, you also had problem not connecting.
I think mostly Mataji.
Yes, yes, Mataji.
Yeah,
yes, somebody.
But originally I had called the US now. In between, I think
Mataji, the usually Swati Mataji connects us in something like this.
Prem Rasadas Prabhuji cannot join.
Can you send a WhatsApp message to him, Mataji? To connect to Bhairavi Mataji?
Yeah, but I also dialed the number and it said the host is not there. Host is not there.
The same thing, na?
Yeah, I typed on the WhatsApp and Bhairavi said call her number. But how could Bhairavi continue the call? I didn't understand.
Prabhuji has sent a telecom.
Just give me reply, Mataji.
Bhairavi Mataji.
Mataji, and CC exam is next week. No?
CC exam?
CC. I didn't understand what's this.
Okay.
Mataji?
Yeah, Mataji. Yes, Mataji.
Have you not connected?
Yes. Yeah, I am not connected, Mataji. I can't hear anything.
Saroja, Mataji?
No, yeah, but not Prabhuji.
Yeah, we can hear.
So what did Prabhuji say about CC exam, Mataji, yesterday?
CC exam, he said it will be in the summary form.
Achha.
He has not given time limit. No, he has not given. He said, I'll
set it. But NOD ke liye 1 month diya.
So this exam, some devotees have to write now. They will first write and he will discuss them.
4, 5, 6, 7. That's summary.
4, 5, 6. Yeah, 4 chapters each jump from next time.
CC exam, Mataji, this week.
No, see, he has not told this week. Karke. He is not satisfied, na, Mataji? Yusha, Mataji?
No, yes, no, na. Mostly it will be not
exam. But it will be this weekend only, next weekend?
That month end, I thought he told, na. Month end, recordings or the book?
Both, Mataji. Recordings and the chapter we have to start.
Connected, Mataji?
Yeah, Mataji.
But we are not able to hear Prabhuji's Mataji. When the US call got disconnected, I didn't understand technically how. Then we changed the methodology, right? From Skype call, we made it something else suddenly.
We got disconnected, so we had connected. But when we got disconnected, we were already in. She didn't get disconnected, so we could connect her like that first.
Achha.
Nahi hai na abhi?
Thank you, Prabhuji. Yeah, so I don't know why this happened this time.
Yeah, Prabhuji, it is for everybody.
Yeah, but I think it's good that I got disconnected, because then, which I forgot to mention, so luckily, I think it was Krishna's arrangement. Then I also wanted to appreciate Bhairavi Mataji. Very regularly she's coming, then Pranav Prabhu also, he has been regular. For some reasons, he was not able to go. He's also very regular, and because he's doing a lot of service also, he has helped me a lot, actually, for many things. So I really appreciate his help. Of course, Aritra is actually the main. So Aritra is actually the one who is actually, he has, even though, I don't think that he's there right now, and maybe many times he's not there, he just initiates the call and then he goes away.
He was there, and starting he was there.
So he has been providing a great help, and he hears the recordings also regularly. So although he's not able to, sometimes he's not able to attend for some personal reasons. So yeah, so I appreciate, you know, all the devotees, you know, and you know, whoever has been coming, trying to attend regularly, but for some reason they are not able to attend. That's also appreciated. So you know, and it has been a wonderful journey with all of you, each and every devotee. There's no doubt about that. All
because
are,
of you only, Prabhuji. It's because of you only.
Yeah.
So I maybe because of me, I think, you know, that the reason is because of all of you. Because
you are being very humble.
So because you all have, you know,
connected each one of us with each other, like.
That was I mean, Krishna very nice. Somehow, you know, online concept, all these things, you know, it was very unfamiliar with me also, like, you know, I was not...
Today, Sakshi Mohan Prabhuji was sharing with Mithai Prasad Das Prabhuji about CC. He was so, for almost 15-20 minutes, he was asking how you do it online, how do it, and all, he was asking Sakshi Mohan Prabhuji.
Which Prabhu?
Nithai Das Prabhuji, he is taking Bhakti Shastri course now.
Achha,
Prabhuji asked him, he couldn't believe, like, you have finished, and only he was asking like that.
Yeah, same with Gaurang Priyabhu also, like, you know, when I told him that, you know, I'm doing this course, so, and then he heard that there are like almost 30 devotees registered, so we were shocked. So he said, how do you do it, like, so.
Prabhuji was telling, even we are not doing verse by verse, CC and you all are doing it, really remarkable, he was telling.
Yeah. I mean, I never thought, you know, I never imagined.
All glory to Prem
Das
Prabhu.
Yeah.
Haribol.
It's all like, and she
basically. Thanks to Bhairavi Mataji today for connecting all of us.
Bhairavi Mataji today. Otherwise, you will not be able to hear this.
Yeah.
Haribol.
Because.
Dandat Pranam to Prabhuji. Dandat Pranam to Prabhuji.
No. Yes, to all devotees, actually, because you all are so enthusiastic, you know, to hear. That's why, you know, I am able to share something. So otherwise, you know, what can I say? You know, it will be like, if within 1 hour everyone will go to sleep, then, you know, it will be like.
But in your class, no one slept, Prabhuji.
No one slept.
Even till 11:30 in the night, nobody slept.
Yesterday, Mataji, it went till 11:30-12 almost.
Okay.
Yeah, yesterday it went till.
I got disconnected and I couldn't get connected later on.
Yeah. So you know, this is actually like, you know, we have to, you know, this thing is so important, you know, like for me actually to know that you are all happy, you know, and satisfied. So I hope, you know, that because see, when I doing the conducting the course, there might be some unknowing offenses also involved, like from my end. So I, you know, beg forgiveness from each and every devotee, and you know, I'm happy because you all are happy, basically, you know, like that is what is making me so, like, you know, it feels that I've achieved something, like, you know, by seeing the responses and feedback of all the devotees. So it's a wonderful thing, you know, it inspires me to continue my service, and I hope Guru Maharaj Prabhupada will be pleased in some way. And yeah, so see, that's the reason also, you know, my idea was that we should have regular association also, like, you know, I thought that we should have once in 2 months we should all meet together, and, you know, whoever can participate in the house program, they can come, and, you know, they can... So then that way, see, through that physical bonding also, you know, like, we'll get to know each other, and, you know, we can have deep relationships like that. So I really want that, actually. Like, you know, if I would like to continue any, you know, course now onwards, but then I obviously want to meet also devotees. And I think we should have this, you know, regular association also. So what do you think about that? Like, you know, we had so much fun, you know.
Prabhuji, that Bhagavad Gita also you do the same way, no? This Bhagavad Gita, I saw your message.
Yeah, Bhagavad Gita, I'm going to start from
this. Do you want to do it like this on a Saturday or whatever?
Actually, many new people, they, like, some are working, so they also requested for Saturday. So, see, that's why So I mean yet to decide actually, like, you know,
okay.
I have to plan accordingly what to do for that. And obviously, like, you know, the biggest effort I have to put is on Krishna book, because
mm-hmm.
that's something it will require a lot of research. Like,
okay.
So Chaitanya Charitamrita Jain, but the Krishna book, it is like, you know, the Leelas, they come into the Acharyas, and then, you know, there will be a lot of, you know, I don't know, like.
So when you start Krishna, Prabhuji?
I'm thinking after 1 month or something.
Okay.
So on Saturday or Sunday, Prabhuji?
Yeah, that I'm not sure actually. I was planning to keep Bhagavad Gita on weekday, continue our normal, you know, this Krishna book reading on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay, Prabhuji. Like
but I think might not be possible. Depending on the majority of the people who are enrolling for the Bhagavad Gita class, I will have to switch
Krishna
on weekdays. Yeah.
So can we join Bhagavad Gita, Prabhuji?
See, the suggest is that I think let's now do it on a, you know, more personal basis. Is your, you know, what you are doing, what programs you are already enrolled, what is the future plan? Take time now, okay? And then obviously the commitment has to be there. At the same time,
yeah,
right. Actually,
mm-hmm.
See, you like, don't try to jump, you know, like, focus
yeah.
on one thing at a time and manage all the three together.
Exactly.
Along with your, you know, whatever, like, if you are doing seva, ask Bhakti Shastri or anything. So you only think, you know, because what will happen is then becomes a problem sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
So mm-hmm. and then, you know, the right way is to gain and do the service basically. Okay. So service is the most important. Without service, knowledge is theoretical. So, you know, if you are willing to spend time on, you know, extra knowledge, why not? But then it becomes perfect. Like, you know, you serve under someone's guidance, and, you know, then that will bestow real mercy from the Lord. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is my suggestion. No, you all are like, you know, like, so now close, you know, so I cannot say no to anyone. Even my suggestion, you all think about it. If you can manage so many things, it's up to you then. So, you know, then, so see, that's why what happened is, now, purpose of exam is also, you know, one of the reasons is that, to make you all go through that experience, you know, that for this course, then obviously, you know, you'll have to put, you know, you have to time this time and then understand, so that will create some anxiety in your daily schedule. So now you just imagine, if one exam for one particular course has created so that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, I right now I'm thinking that maybe we might not have any exam for Bhagavad Gita, but I'm not sure. So, because see, what is happening mixture? Like, actually, it is specially designed for non-devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some few non-devotees, like 4-5 non-devotees enrolled for the course, and then there are other 5-6 devotees actually, or more than that. But is obviously, you know, I would like to have some exam, some, you know, at least they can understand, be full of Shastric quotations, you know, like Krishna is Supreme God. So what is the proof for that? So then quote everything from Shastra, wherever you find, whatever like logic and everything, you know, then like, you know, like that. So, you know, then Krishna, the personality aspect of Krishna is the Supreme, you know, and then Brahma is inferior to that. So then what is the proof in Shastra? Because see, when we are dealing with outsiders, we have to be prepared. Okay. So in that sense, the devotees, if they would like, see, that's why I said that for devotees, I would like to have to, you know, give them exam, because they will be prepared how to present to non-devotees, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, and they should be able to tackle each and every question from outsider. If they, you know, so all these things are, it's going to be a detailed course. Yeah, and it will take time, no? It will take time, because Bhagavad Gita also 700 shlokas, it might take at least a year or something. Right? And then obviously, see, to like, you know, just like, it is like, you know, Sanatan. It has become Sanatan now,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
It will just keep continuing. Now, if you all remember, when I had first messaged in the group, that's, you know, so what I had mentioned, I'm going to share Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, all these things. So the reason till now I'm not sharing anything is because till now we are just understanding who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So once his role is over, similar thing will start with Nityananda Prabhu. Then Chaitanya Bhagavat, all quotations will start. Who is Nityananda Prabhu? Proof, you know, evidence that he is Balaram and like all these things, you know. So Chaitanya Bhagavat is remaining, you know, like there's so many things to be added from that. So if you all keep adding commentaries from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mangal, then, you know, so it is like maybe it will become our eternal course. In the spiritual world also we do, you know, continue, probably.
Prabhuji, most probably we'll be going to Navjit Dham only.
Yeah, it's actually all our Gaudiya devotees should all go to Navjit. You know, that should be out there actually. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you know, which is very special, you know, this thing. In fact, you know what I will tell you, after finishing CC, I was planning to do Vraj Mandal Parikrama, Gaur Mandal Parikrama and Puri Dham Parikrama online. But I think maybe we'll do that in the spiritual world if we go, you know, all together. That parikrama will happen there only, probably.
Actually, we should do physical parikrama, Guruji.
Yeah, physical, no. With, not with the body, with the spiritual body, probably we'll do.
So we still our yatra is pending. We have decided on one yatra, no?
Okay. Good that you, you know, remembered that. Okay, so now see what I'm suggesting. Let's have a short trip to Eco Village. Let's start with Eco Village. If all of the countries can make on some weekend, we can all go together. And I think we should go early because then it will start raining. So if it's raining, then you know we'll lose the fun.
Yes.
So all of you can fix a date, like, you know, whatever your preference is. And we can really, you know, have fun there. So,
okay.
And maybe in the future, you know, if we are together in a dham or somewhere, then I will try to share some knowledge about dham.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Parikrama, dham parikrama, and like something like that. So, but that is very, you know, I don't know how it will work out actually for everyone because everyone has their priorities and everything, you know, so. Yeah, so, you know, then obviously, you know, there is Giriraj Parikrama also, like separately Giriraj Parikrama, then Churyasikos Parikrama, Radhakund Parikrama is also there, you know, separately. So I don't know when, you know, we'll reach all these things when the time will come. So, yeah, this is my desire, you know, like one after the other, I would like to keep taking, but let's see how it works out.
10th June.
Actually, if we do Bhakti Ratnakar, if we start at Mandal Parikrama is included. So Bhakti Ratnakar is, you know, it's another, you know, amazing.
We did not know that Bhakti Ratnakar existed.
Yeah, Narahari Chakravarti. And he has actually done the pastimes of, the Srinivasa Chakrama. So of the Vraj Mandal Parikrama. So that all information is given there. Showing Navadvip Dham to Jiva Goswami. I think all these things are there. But so that Mandal Parikrama, Vraj Mandal Parikrama. Nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So don't get tempted and stick to one thing as of now. Yeah. Okay. So you all plan about the Eco Village, you know, if everyone is interested. And
10th June. Yes.
10th June is, well, but it might start raining actually at that time. So
no, maybe it will start from after 15th.
But no, it will be nice if it rains there. Because all
10th June, I think Monday after
that is 7th June.
6th or 7th June.
This is Shamananda Guru's appearance. And
because that, on the day of
I wanted to announce that every year since almost 4 or 5 years we have been having 12-hour kirtan, non-stop kirtan on Nijala Ekadashi. Especially in the evening time after 4 or 5, you know, the very few devotees are there because some have, but this time it is on Sunday.
Monday.
So then, you know, we all take turns. See, like, you know, I do 3 hours kirtan, then some other devotees, they will do two or three hours kirtan. So we actually make a timetable. We make a schedule of devotees who will be doing kirtan. So mostly it is my slot is generally in the afternoon because no one is there to listen to my kirtan. So, you know, during that time. No.